knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-table. So many times we give them rhymes that aren't quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Leon Green, formerly U.S. Navy officer. Jeff Nyquist's website, jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. And Dave Hodges' website is The Common Sense Show. Dave, a little more background on this. If an illegal alien approaches at a regular checkpoint, I believe they just turn back. If they typically, when they cross a border in Texas, multiple videos, they just calmly, politely turn themselves over to the authorities and they're processed and turned back into the country. But that's not what's going on with these Chinese nationals. They don't politely turn themselves into authorities. They just melt into the countryside, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. Exactly. John, I would say this too. On the Doug and Dave Intel report that I do with Doug Thornton, former DHS, he was supervisor in Portland before he left the DHS, and at a time when there were three major weapons caches placed inside the United States. And it's his belief and his knowledge that this just wasn't for the Antifa riots, because they never used guns. That wasn't the MO for Antifa, to have an armed insurrection, even though individuals may have been armed with incendiary devices. He thinks it was for Fifth Column forces, and that quickly got hushed up. And at the time that he was serving in Portland as a supervisor, he was aware of three of these major weapon caches across the United States that were seized. One was outside Portland, one I believe was in Tennessee, and I can't recall the third off the top of my head. So I think this is to promote, you know, domestic insurrection, perhaps take down the power grid, a Tet offensive of terrorists of some sort, just and that's speculation. But John, I want to bring one other thing to the table here. We've always talked, and you and I've had this discussion going back years, about the supposed independence of the U.S. submarine fleet.
Yes.
And would they remain intact and independent of a treasonous Biden administration? And how much damage could they do? How much could Biden betray them to the enemies in times of war, or Biden administration, I should say? And then one last thing here, too, is I think it would be naive to believe that space has not been weaponized. So how would that X factor come into play? And what would the counter abilities of Russia and China be to stop U.S. Near-Earth orbital weapons to involve themselves in a world conflict? I think those are X factors that need to be looked at. And quite frankly, I'm posing this as more speculation than fact, but I think it's something that we should talk about.
Well, the Bill Clinton, when he was president, took away the launch codes from the submariners. I've always wondered if the Master Chiefs on those submarines could do workarounds, which I would be shocked if they couldn't. So there's a lot of X factors there. Jeff, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Massachusetts? All right.
Yes, I am, John. Hey, Dave. Also, too, I implore you to at least do a video or have a broadcast with either Doug Thornton or Bob Griswold about this, because this is very important, about the movie How to Blow Up a Pipeline, particularly when it comes out, which I'm going to be watching that movie, by the way, and taking notes. Basically, kids will be inspired by TikTok to blow up pipelines, in my opinion. Because guess what? You're going to have a subculture come out of this movie, you know, daring kids to pull stunts at gas plants or electric plants and so forth. I mean, you know, look, back in the 70s, you had the movie The Warriors. When that came out, people were afraid of violence. You had the movie, other movies in the past that were controversial, that when they came out, you know, things happened. I mean, so So to me, I encourage you to do a broadcast on this subject because this is no lightweight thing.
Okay, Dave, I've done that preliminarily. Let me just share with you what I have discussed. If we go to Europe, and I'm just saying Europe is an example of what's being put in place here, but if you go to Europe, yesterday Christine Lagarde from the EU said that, yeah, Europeans for much longer, they're not going to be able to use more than $1,000 of their cash to do a purchase. And if they do, they'll be fined and go to jail. And I saw the video of this. This isn't like we heard she said it. She flat said it. And we have the Fed now coming in between May and July. Those are the latest estimates. And that's a precursor to what's coming in with CBDC. Here's my point for all this. Who the hell needs to be invaded by China when you're being occupied by communists in the White House? Once CBDCs are in place, the American public, unless they have some kind of alternative currency, they're using gold, trading and bartering or whatever, but in the system, they'll be completely controlled. What you can buy, what you can't buy, they'll take your money away from you like Trudeau did the Canadian truckers. If you do anything they don't like, that's the value of CBDC. And there's your threat. And I think there's your main source of subjugation. And then you bring this country under such control, then the people in control of this government can hand off the control of this country to whoever they want.
Oh, yes. And then game, set, match. If there's rioting or any kind of revolution, you just bring in the United Nations under the Kigali principles. That's your Trojan horse for China and Russia to come in. And the blue states will already surrender. And you'll have a civil war in this country where the communists will use the blue states as auxiliary military, just like the Nazis used the Vichy French as their auxiliary military, and we're pretty much done. Well, Dave, I thank you for giving me your time.
It's not going to be that smooth. I'm sorry. Let me tell you what. I've had three discussions in the last couple of months. One with someone very close to me, one with a reliable source I've had for a very long time, and another who's a third-party contact through a friend of mine, and I'll give you the summation. There are people at levels of command in the military, certainly not the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that are actually preparing to encounter the Chinese, irrespective of Biden policies. And I mean that literally. And
I've heard
this three times in 2 months from very reliable sources, people who have served and they know what's going on. Now, how widespread that is it a pipe dream? Is there an inner conspiracy against Biden? I those questions I don't think could be answered. But I can tell you this, if foreign powers think that every element of the U.S. military is going to capitulate all of the Biden administration, I think they got a surprise coming.
No, Dave, I hope so. I'm just talking about my backyard in Massachusetts. I believe my state would completely surrender to the commies. I mean, we really would. I mean, this state's doomed, and Arizona's doomed also.
Yeah, there's a difference between your local politician, like Doug Ducey, who was in bed with the communists, and they made him a multimillionaire through his private business, Stone Cold Creamery. There's a difference between those kind of traitors and who's serving in the military. They're not one and the same. You could have betrayal of an entire legislature, okay? And like right now in Arizona, our Secretary of State defends cartel members in court. That's his MO. That's his history. Okay, he's not going to make those kind of decisions. It's an entirely different ballgame when you're talking military infrastructure and control, and you're talking civilian control.
Okay, Jeff, we appreciate your call.
Thank you very much.
We need to move on. Jeff Nyquist, you got any follow-up before we move on to our next caller, sir?
Yeah, the what Dave is saying is right. The plan of the nuclear weapons and the World War stuff is the cleanup. They have to throw our society into chaos. They have to infiltrate the society and collapse the economy, because then that can guarantee the collapse of our weapon systems, that we won't be able to have a counter force strike, because they want us so enfeebled that when it comes time, they have to take the risk, if they do, and I believe they will ultimately have to, that they have every advantage. So they're not just doing all the infiltration stuff because they don't need to. It's just like invading Ukraine. They have to take as much as they can and go as far as they can without a war, without a nuclear war against us. And pushing us, you know, like Dave has talked about the Sinaloa cartel and buying elections. I mean, you read Joseph Douglas, Joe Douglas's book, Red Cocaine, about how they started using organized crime and Operation Friendship of Nations that started in 1960, where they were going to dominate the drug trade. They've done it. They're laundering the money through our banks. They're buying politicians. But the one thing, there's a limit to that. You can buy a politician to do certain things, but when he realizes he's committing suicide, if that ever dawns on him, if he ever wakes up to reality, you're going to have a lot of people switching sides. And that's our hope. We have to really fight to get people to wake up and to really put the pressure on to say, look, this is the end of us if we let this keep going.
All right. Let's move on to our next caller. Thank you, Jeff. Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have a question for anyone that wants to answer it. What would appear to be Russia's next move in Ukraine? How do they plan to get themselves out of this quagmire that they're stuck in and get victory? Or will they have to postpone their plans till later until they can maybe lick their wounds and rebuild? Or what's going to what is likely? What intelligence do you have about that? What are they planning for the immediate future? And then what? I mean, they can't, if they don't get Ukraine, their flank is open to being attacked.
Jeff,
yeah,
you
want to
take this one?
Like I said, their Russian forces are visibly fortifying. They're pouring concrete. They're making bunkers. This is not preparing for an offensive. Now, you've got, I mentioned Yuri Felchinsky's information. Russia has started to forward deploy nuclear weapons. And I believe those are tactical nuclear weapons into Belarusia. I think the Russians have a counterattack strategy, and they're trying to undermine the supplies going into Ukraine. And you hear different things. There's some kind of problem with the supplying of Ukraine. A lot of the resources aren't reaching Ukraine, and that gets into an area that's very murky. But it seems to me that they want to defeat the Ukrainian offensive, then go over to the offensive and finish Ukraine off. And they're raiding additional troops. They're continuing to mobilize. They're mobilizing troops. They're setting up forces. Russia's continuing to build, and China is too. So that's, you know, it's a defensive offense right now is what it looks like.
All right. Let's move on. John, we do appreciate the call. Our next caller is Chris in Virginia. Good morning, Chris. Chris in Virginia.
Yeah, can you hear me? Hey,
yes, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, Chris.
Dave, I'm totally with you, Dave, on most everything you're saying. And I remember listening to you on shortwave a long time ago, like 1999.
I wasn't
I'm
on
glad
shortwave
you're still out there.
In 1999. I didn't make an appearance on broadcast media until 2007, and I'm sorry, but I've never been on shortwave.
Oh, really? Well, sorry. Well, what I was going to comment was that I think we always have to keep in mind that, and see, I don't have connections like a lot of you guys do, and so I'm just John Q. Public out here, and I have to go on what I can consider a fact, and what facts are to me are that there's no one driving the car, there's no one minding the store, as far as our federal government. And to me, that's a factor that I always consider, that there's just no grown-ups in the room. So, like you guys are talking about.
I agree with you. When you hire people for their preferences and how they look, you're inbreeding incompetence into your administration. I agree there's some of that. But there's intent. the Afghan withdrawal happened the way it was supposed to happen, with maybe a few blowbacks like the death of the 13 service people that have caused so much controversy. But they left behind how many millions of high-grade military equipment? That was no accident. That could have been ordered to be blown up. That was meant to fall into Taliban hands. There's stupidity and there's intent. That's what I would tell you.
I agree there's intent, but I look at that there's transvestites that are generals in the military, and I look at that. That's a fact that the military is decimated with all that crazy trainee stuff that's going on. And then I look at, like what you were talking about, the ESG and the infiltration of the Chinese into all of our organizations, all of our universities. That's just basically for me, what about this? I'll just put this on the table. What if our silos are infiltrated and captured? I'll throw that out there.
Well, you know, I think the fifth column force that I alluded to is a potential threat for that. And I say potential because, you know, I'm not going to speak as a security expert on defending missile silos. And I know it's a lot more elaborate than what we're told the general public. And I don't have that information. But I will tell you this. You're right about the transvestites becoming generals. We have one in several that serve in the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Thing is, they're not putting on dresses as much as they're putting on communist clothing. I mean, you know, I wish McCarthy was still alive today, even though he embellished what he reported, even though he went off the rails and he was an alcoholic. He sure as hell was right about the communist infiltration into our government.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Okay. I think Jeff Nyquist had a follow-up on that. Jeff, did you have a follow-up on this discussion?
Yeah, I saw the numbers of vehicles and artillery pieces and everything left behind in Afghanistan. It's over 2,000 Humvees, you know, like thousands and thousands of trucks and armored trucks. And then, you know, nearly 150 howitzers. I mean, the amount of equipment that, you know, and of course, it's the equipment we equip the Afghan military with, because they collapsed and left all the stuff we gave them, and the stuff we left behind, the helicopters and whatnot. It's billions of dollars worth of equipment, and it, by some count, I don't know how you count evaluate it, but by some counts, it's three times as much equipment as we've given to Ukraine that we left in Afghanistan.
Well, I'm going to follow up with that. First of all, military weapons are sold on the international market back and forth between countries. But one of the important things left behind were these very special transponders that allow American radar units to identify and tell the difference between a legitimate American friendly aircraft and enemy aircraft. So when you've got one of these special transponders on board your aircraft, say you're a Chinese military aircraft, you can give all our defense, NORAD will identify you as a friendly American aircraft. In addition, the cartels, who have more money than they know what to do with, they were probably sending their people to Kabul within days to pick and choose what weapons they wanted to buy to bring back to Mexico or wherever they might be in South and Central America, to give the drug cartels equipment, weapons, equivalent to the governments of any country. So it's an absolute nightmare, Jeff, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, you mentioned Mexico. Look, there's a Mexican guy who has a podcast who drove the highway in Baja that the Chinese had Mexican contractors build. The Mexican contractors were, I think it connects Ensenada with Tijuana, and it's the highway that they're going to offload their equipment in Ensenada and invade the United States using that highway. And that the contractors.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on. We'll continue at the break. We'll continue at the break in a second.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me.
This feels like heaven. You're listening to RBN in defense of the Republic.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by Liberator Rocket Heaters. The April sale is in effect until the end of April, midnight the 29th, $500 off at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. We have Dave Hodges. His website is The Common Sense Show. And Jeff, do you want to continue with your comments, sir?
Oh, I pretty much made it. But
you made your point. Okay. Let's see. I think our next caller is Chris in Virginia. Good morning, Chris. Pat. Okay. Our next caller is Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, I just wanted to say that, well, for one thing, we should never have left Afghanistan. We should have not done that. Our soldiers were not people being killed there, and they were training the kids. The kids loved them. They come out and they'd give them candy and dolls and all that kind of, white dolls, all that kind of stuff. And we were bringing up a generation of people who were on our side. But no, the damned armchair generals of the public sit around and complain until a communist like a Biden can come along and do just what they want. So, you know, who do I blame? Us. That's who I blame. And right now I'm very concerned about Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., wanting to be president because too many states vote straight party. And all they got to do is bring those people that come over the border and tell them, okay, this is an R and this is a D. Now, you always want to do all the D's. We don't need all that. But Texas, last I looked, you can't vote straight party. You have to vote person per person, you know, and that's okay, too. But this Robert F. Jr., first of all, he's under a curse in the Bible. It's in four different places, and it amounts to going against God and coming and you being punished down to the fourth and fifth generation. And that's what the Kennedy curse is. First of all, his dad made all the money making alcohol offshore. And then, did I go through all of it? I mean, Robert and his brother both have an affair with Marilyn Monroe at the same time. And you just name it. And Junior, JFK Junior, being shown as naked on the front of his own magazine, George. I mean, if you don't have morals, which are defined as an ability to get along with all people, all of us, we're not going to get anywhere. And this year, Robert F. Jr., he is a good speaker, man. He's written a book about Fauci. Well, you know, how we are the enemy of my enemy is my friend. No, not really. Not really. Who would be his vice president if he hit the fourth or fifth generation curse? I mean, people need to stop being on his side, and I'm very concerned about that right now. I just like to get to the exact thing going on right now. And you want to complain about the vote? What about people that don't even vote? What about the people who did vote, who put Nancy Pelosi out of the scene? Anyway, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to bring out that that's going on right now, and it concerns me. And okay, Jeff, what do you think?
Okay. You want to direct your question towards any individual, Pat?
To Jeff.
To Jeff. Okay. Jeff, you got a response for Pat.
Oh, that's an interesting question, and I'm interested to know what Dave thinks, too. I read Robert Kennedy Jr.'s book on Fauci. I studied the footnotes. I'm disturbed at some of the footnotes that he uses. He uses sources that are good and sources that are from the far left. So he has, what I understand, I talked to someone who is engaged with him recently, who said that he's reaching out to people on the right and the left. And of course, his main focus has been on the pharmaceutical industry and, you know, vaccines and children and stuff. He is a question mark. I think he's got the wrong idea about the general strategic situation. I don't think he fully understands who killed his father and his uncle. I don't think he understands the structure of the enemies we're fighting against, but I think he's sincere. I think he wants to stop some things that are bad from happening, but whether he's can be influenced to do the wrong things, like all our politicians, you know, he's problematic. So what do you think, Dave?
Well, I think he's an insurance policy for Gavin Newsom's candidacy. And I think Gavin Newsom's trying to, with the help of his aunt-in-law, if you will, Nancy Pelosi, I think he's looking to be the front runner. Joe Biden will not be the candidate. Kamala Harris can't pass the smell test, can't stop cackling. So I think it's going to be Newsom, but I think Robert Kennedy might be the insurance policy, but he also might be lined up to be a VP or some other cabinet post. But I agree with you. I don't trust him any farther than I can throw him. Every lie has an element of truth, and that's how I view Kennedy.
Okay, we have a break. Gentlemen, hold on. We'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Well, I wish I was in the land of coffee, no town there. I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there, more than 9 gigabytes of information. If you want to educate yourself on COVID 19 and the COVID vaccines and boosters, we have more than 200 articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors, including Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, who says flat out, no ifs, ands, or buts, that the COVID vaccine and the boosters are meant to hurt and kill people. Very true. Very true. We have a April sale going on with the Liberator Rocket Eaters, a wood-burning stove that has no smoke, $500 off until midnight, the 29th. You might want to check that out at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jerrynyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. And Dave Hodges' his website is The Common Sense Show. Dave, did you wrap up your thoughts before we move on here, sir?
Yeah, I think I said what I needed to say. It's
okay,
man. I'll tell you, there's no easy answer to this these questions that we started out with today. No. I think we've seen the multidimensionality of the problems. I wanted to ask Jeff a question, though. Do you have any information on how in-depth the militarization of space is and how that whole scenario could play into a world war?
Well, there's been a lot of deception related to it. My last two articles have been about UFOs and deception, and very much focused on what Russia, things that Russians have said and our own government has gone into. And I there's been a flurry in the last couple of years of books, and some very excellent journalists have gotten involved in this, like the Australia 60 Minutes journalist who wrote In Plain Sight, Ross Coulthart. This book is just phenomenal because the one thing, you know, he's looking at this and he didn't find any proof that there's extraterrestrials, although a lot of testimony that there is, like a rumor. But what he found is there's definitely a U.S. government secret programs that are, you know, black budgeted monies that are building things. And it's fusion power. It's anti-gravity, electromagnetic propulsion, you know, the weapons of the future that are going to produce, you know, and as the cutting edge of physics is you know, laser physics and trying to reconcile, you know, quantum mechanics with classical physics and so on. And so I would say there is something going on, but what's really scary about it is the Russians have been ahead of us in the area of psychotronic weapons, which is the really scary weapons. And Putin actually wrote a paper in 2012 in which he mentions these weapons and says they're just as powerful as nuclear weapons. Now, what in the heck is this weapon? There was a now it's interesting, a Russian Strategic Rocket Forces general got into this and was a lecturer in this over there and has written papers. In one of his papers, he mentioned UFOs as a natural force that could be exploited. And he mentioned that these psychotronic weapons allow brainwashing at a distance. Now, what exactly does that mean? You got to use your imagination a little bit, but I think that the answer lies, you will notice that the UFO phenomenon, which is connected to these advanced technological discussions and is partly covering it and involved in it, it involves paranormal research, definitely in Russia. They were ahead of us. There's Air Force, declassified Air Force documents from the Foreign Technology Division, by the way, which I found that are just saying they're way ahead of us. They've done incredible things. The phenomenon began with World War II. And it may be that the German scientists had made some strides in this area in World War II and that the Russians and the Americans got some of that, just like we got the missile technology from them and other tech, you know, jet engines and stuff they designed. And I think there's been competition between Russia and the United States in this black area. And it's a very scary area because I think that they can, we're talking about lethal telepathy, whatever telepathy is, something akin to super voodoo, right? Only with machines that can enhance the effect, whatever the effect is. That's the suggestion from the Russian literature.
Yeah, I've heard of this too. In fact, this actually began to come out with the remote viewing that the CIA did. And Ed Dames, who I had the honor of working with a little bit in some of his workshops. And I do agree with everything you've said there. The question, there's two different elements of this, though, as I understand it. One is the what we'd call the telepathic, the mental aspects of the weaponizing. The other is the ability to affect a change in the physical world, you know, like a psychic engineering effect. And so I've been told there's two aspects of this, Jeff, and one can definitely be weaponized in terms of the telepathy. Can you induce a heart attack at a distance is one of the things I know that's been looked at. And what I'm wondering is how much of this, and I wish I would have asked Ed Dames a question when I had the chance, how much of this is a factor of MKUltra? Is this an offshoot of MKUltra research?
Well, MKUltra was an attempt, a bungled attempt, I believe, to catch up. The Russians were also ahead of us in mind control drugs, because it's often a combination of drugs and physical effects of electromagnetic fields and stuff, and also meditation techniques. And people who are, did you know that in the 1960s, the Russians started screening, the Soviets started screening their population for psychics? You know, yeah. You see in these science fiction movies about how, you know, if your child shows psychic ability, you know, report him to so-and-so. He will have a great, you know, we'll put him in programs. Well, the Soviets did that. I didn't know that until I did the research for these papers. But what I would say is, telekinesis. The Russians were initially interested. They actually started their experiments, by the way, in the 1920s. And so it starts with remote viewing and telepathy, and it advances to telekinesis, which is what they were really interested in. And here you have a very talented psychic. Everyone's heard about Uri Geller, who was the spoonbender guy from the 70s.
Right.
Annie Jacobs wrote a book called Phenomena, and it may be the most best informed reportage from a serious reporter on this stuff. This is weird science, and she said we're working on it, cutting edge physics, and the physics is double causality that now they're coming to understand. And Jacques Vallée, the ufologist, actually, he has advanced degrees in physics and also information technology. They're coming to understand that the flip side of energy in physics is information. Information is what energy is. And that what we haven't understood properly is the information. So there's these two sides. And actually, telepathy is explained by this, that information is the flip side of physics. Then you put what's called quantum entanglement together with it, creating quantum entanglement. You know, a voodoo doll is an attempt to, very primitive attempt to exploit quantum entanglement. In a voodoo doll, you get fingernail clippings and hair from your intended victim. You make a doll which includes these personal items, you know, body parts, you know, former body parts, you know, hair and fingernail clippings. And then you do some meditation or some ritual around it. Then you do things to the doll, and then it affects the person that you're attacking. This is one of the things. Of course, with the Soviet interest in mind control, the real interest in them is to affect people at a distance, affect what they think, because they believe this is decisive, is brain entrainment and controlling people's thoughts. And of course, the UFO abduction phenomenon. I was told by an intelligence guy 30 years ago, a guy who'd gotten out of the game. And I could never confirm it from anyone, except Jacques Vallée writes about it in his books and suspected it for a long time, that abduction experience has been induced by some kind of, may have been induced by a weapon, because these mass experiences, we've got, you know, fairies taking people and stories going back, of course, but like the Soviet general who said, you know, it's a natural phenomenon we can hijack, if they can induce the experience in people with a psychotronic weapon, can they then reorient them spiritually or mentally and politically? Which, if you look at some of the UFO cults, there is a political element which reflects some of the themes you see in old Soviet and even current Chinese propaganda, which is very disturbing.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that too. In fact, you know, this concept of quantum entanglement and psychic ability even went to Princeton. They had a 30-year project called the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research, or PAIR for short. But I'll cut right to the chase without going through the details on how they set up their experiments. And remember, this is Princeton, and this was engineering, not psychology. That's where I found that fascinating. But they found in their research that human beings across the planet could anticipate major disasters 2 to 4 hours ahead of time, and they measured that through autonomic nervous system responses in mass. And the number one was 9/11, and the number two event that they found was the tsunami of 2004. Now, they've discontinued the experiment, but we have 30 years of data. And what you said about quantum entanglement is exactly right. There's a whole level to human consciousness that goes beyond the three dimensions. It's a multidimensional effect. And when you look at super string theory, like Michio Kaku, and he says we can postulate mathematically the existence of 26 dimensions. If you're in the fifth dimension, you're where time stands still, and you can see frontwards, you can see backwards. And I could go into great detail, but I won't in this particular show, except to say there's a lot more to our consciousness than is being discussed in let's say, the news media and a lot of academia. But we're beginning to get into it now, and we teach it as quantum mechanics in universities. And really, we've known this for a long time. Tesla was all over this, but physics decided to bifurcate and keep us in a three-dimensional model for our students, while the CIA and other groups began to look at the quantum mechanics part of it.
Well, that's interesting. On my blog, if you look at my latest article, I have put Vallee's TED Talk, The Future of Physics, that he gave. Now, Vallee argues that the mistake we're making is to believe in dimensions, but there are no dimensions, except for we create this mathematical model of dimensions, but he, as a physicist, has come to the conclusion that that's wrong, because time only moves in one direction. And he says the mathematical models about dimensionality reminds him of what people did in trying to explain the planets that orbited the sun when we had the theory they orbited the Earth. They were doing these circles within circles within circles to explain the motion. And so he says, we're trying to explain something, we've missed the answer. And what he believes is it's just the missing sister is information. That information is form, language is form. And that if we understood what's happening is that the universe is put together in such a way like a random access memory of a computer, where things that are alike, you know, this is where quantum entanglement, are actually associated, and it bridges time and space, and it's instantaneous between, like, they have these small particles that are quantumly entangled, one in Los Angeles, one in Chicago. They heat one up, and the one in Los Angeles, you know, they eat the one in Chicago and the one in Los Angeles gets hotter.
Right.
And now they're coming to beginning to understand this, and they're getting to the point where they can actually exploit it. The you know, the people, for example, who have abduction experiences, people who are close to them, then it's almost like it's contagious. They start having the experience. You've got people who see things like ghosts. With Uri Geller, when he was tested by our top physicists, and Annie Jacobs goes into this in her book, these scientists went home, and after a couple of days, they were having phenomena manifest, bizarre phenomena manifest in their homes, and they all dropped out of the project. They sent Geller back to Israel, and they said, we don't, you know, this is dangerous. So they don't, you know, and in fact, she interviewed a medical guy. There's a medical team for treating people who have some of these quantum entanglement illnesses that come about, and that people, if they're not, they have to try to figure out ways to treat them, because they die within 5 years of getting some of this stuff happening to them. So they've been, you know, this cutting edge stuff is also dangerous, if you think about it. But
Jeff, let me ask you a question. Right now, things are going on in our country that if it had happened 50, 60 years ago, the people have been in the streets with pitchforks or worse. And yet we have this seemingly induced passivity among a lot of our population. Do you think this is related to what you're talking about?
You know, that is a concern. It could be. They have, you know, there is anybody who studied the recent three generations of Americans will see that, you know, I'm old enough. I'm going to turn 65 next month. I was born in 1958. I lived through the changes of the 1960s. And I can tell you, John can tell you, it's a profound change of consciousness began in this country with the people from the early 60s, early to mid 60s to the late 60s and the 1970s. And you know, Yuri Bezmenov talking about demoralization, you know, of the as a form of attack. There's something like that has been done to us. And I think, you know, drugs, the permissive use of drugs, the education that we've been given, the breakdown of our theological and philosophical systems under attack in our universities, you know, the higher concepts we live by. I mean, you have Richard Weaver, fascinating writer who died tragically in the, I think, in 1962 or 63. He wrote a book called Ideas Have Consequences, in which he argued that our acceptance of nominalism as what is destroying our civilization, something that subtle. And what he meant by that is that, that, you know, if you accept nominalism, you basically only believe that if actual objects in space exist, that abstractions don't have any real reality, which means that truth, beauty, and goodness aren't real.
Okay, right? Gentlemen, we have our last break. We're going to take no calls, no more callers, and when we get back, we'll have Jeff give his summary first, and then wrap it up with Dave giving his summary for the day and for the week. We'll be right back.
Me to sleep at night. Ugh. What's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EazeOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back. Jeff, we'll go ahead with your summary about a minute and a half and then wrap it up with Dave giving his summary. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion here. I would say that one of the things, you know, going to what a lot of philosophers and theologians have noted, that our conception, our political order, and the order of the family, the order of the individual, the order within the mind and soul of the individual, has largely depended on the structures created in philosophy and in culture and in our religious teachings. And this is what I think Henry Adams, who really was an expert in, you know, Henry Adams would say that our civilization began in the Middle Ages in the emergence of the high church culture and the advanced theological concepts that came out of that. Theology was incredibly difficult. You know, what our physicists are today, the theologians at that time were. And they created structures that made this great civilization, Christian civilization. And it seems that what communism represents is the ultimate attack on those structures, first spiritually and intellectually, and then finally physically, to break it all down. And we're in this process of the attack culminating in this moment we're in now. So I just would frame it that way and hand it over to Dave.
Okay, thank you. Dave, go ahead, sir.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I would hearken back to the Bible when Jesus turned water into wine and a stone into bread, and he said, "This I do, and you can do more." And it's a paraphrase of the power that really resides in all of us. And I think Jeff and I explored some of those offshoots of that power here in the last part of this show. And this is why, guys, I always come back to this. I don't think there's a political solution to a spiritual problem. And that's what we are in right now. We're in a spiritual warfare. And Jeff just encapsulated it when he said communism seeks to attack everything that was developed by men of the cloth that made society strong. And we're tearing down society through the antithesis of normal and rational and moral behavior. And I really believe the solution to this, it lies in the spiritual, not so much in the physical.
All right. Well said, gentlemen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Dave. And appreciate it. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy, clean essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day, and God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas, and Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.